Chapter 9. Our last night in Amarillo, I said and sighed. We three women, huddled under warm afghans, tucked around us in Sophie's wicker rockers on her front porch. The starry sky seemed almost close enough to touch. The lonely cry of a coyote rose and fell on the wind. "Those stars up there look a lot bigger than they do in Levi," Mom said. "Must be the clear air."
"Higher elevation, too, I imagine," Sophie said. "You don't really have to go back home, you know. You are welcome to stay as long as you like."
"We've accomplished about all we came to do," I said. "I've met and talked with you and Sergeant Romero, and I've met the formidable Tom Mott. Only thing I haven't done is interview your niece, Charlene. I dialed her number 3 times and she doesn't answer. I get the distinct impression she doesn't want to talk to me."
Sophie shook her head. "Could be. I gave you her cell phone number and I'm sure she has a phone with her." "Well, you tried, Darcy. That's all anyone can do."
Yes, that was all I could do.
"Did you get any information that you think may be helpful in your search for Andrea?"
Sophie asked. "Actually, I didn't know." True, I now had more of a feel for Andrea's life before she married Gary Worth and came to Levi. I had met her first husband. I knew that Tom wanted, above all else, to own all or part of Inglenook. I wondered if that might have been the reason he married Andrea. But Tom had an alibi for the time of Andrea's disappearance, as did her spiteful cousin. Besides, why would Tom kill or kidnap Andrea now? If that had been his plan, surely he would have done so while he was still married to her. Before I could answer Sophie, a Crossfire Roadster wheeled into Sophie's driveway and parked under the yard light.
"Well, well, Darcy, it seems you are about to get your wish," Sophie said.
A young woman slid out of the sporty white car with the black ragtop and came up the walk.
"Good evening, Charlene. Pull up a chair," Sophie said.
"Hi, Aunt Sophie. I'll perch here on the railing. I haven't long to stay," Charlene said.
Sophie motioned toward Mom and me.
"Charlene, I wanted to introduce you to my visitors earlier. This is Flora Tucker and Darcy Campbell."
The young woman nodded. Her face was mostly in shadow, but I thought she seemed troubled.
"I know who they are. Carol, your helper, told me."
"Did Carol refund your money for the lamp?"
Charlene shrugged.
"Oh, sure. All it took was a word from you. Actually, I came to tell you something, Aunt Sophie. You will hear it anyway, and I'd rather you hear it from me so you can be happy for me."
I sensed Sophie's tenseness. Whatever it was Charlene had to say, I had the feeling that it probably would not make her aunt feel terribly jolly. Charlene slipped off the railing and held her left hand out toward us. A ring with a large diamond glittered in the moonlight.
"A ring? An engagement ring? Why, that's wonderful, Charlene. Who is the lucky man?"
"Tom Mott."
Sophie gasped, and I could feel her shock and dismay. Looking up at her niece, she slowly shook her head.
"Tom? Oh no, Charlene."
Charlene jerked her hand away and crammed it into the pocket of her tight Levi's.
"Why not? Tom loves me, and I've loved Tom for a long time."
Sophie drew a deep breath. Her voice sounded tired as she said,
"Oh, Charlene, dear child, I hope you'll reconsider."
Charlene stamped a booted foot.
"Look, Aunt Sophie, let's put our cards on the table, shall we? You know that I've always been crazy about Tom. I loved him even before he married Andrea. She took him away from me, and you know she did. But then I guess she paid for it, didn't she?"
I spoke before I had time to consider my words. "What do you mean she paid for it, Charlene?" Charlene backed up. Her voice sank to a whisper.
"I don't mean what you're thinking. I would never hurt Andrea, never. Yes, Granny gave her the ranch, and it should have been half mine. That was so unfair. But I am not responsible for her disappearance."
Standing up, I faced Charlene. "But you know who was responsible."
No. No, of course I don't. Whatever would you think that?
Her chest rose and fell in quick gasps. Her face looked flushed. Something was troubling this young woman. She had come for more reasons than to show her aunt the diamond ring. I recalled the receptionist, Tiny Monroe, and her comment as we left Lee Davis's office. Mom had said that it looked like everybody was busy when Andrea had disappeared. And then again, maybe not, Tiny had said. The woman who stood in front of me now was more than excited. She was scared. Had she come to check me out? Maybe she wondered just how much I knew about Andrea. Tiny's words, as we left Sergeant Romero's office, might have been more than just the empty gossip of a nosy woman. She had insinuated that not all the possible suspects had an alibi at the time of Andrea's disappearance. This could be the right time for a bluff. I decided to risk it. You went to Levi. You saw Andrea. Charlene swallowed. Abruptly, sitting down on the porch rail, she grabbed the post for support and stared at me, her eyes wild.
How did you know?
Crossing my arms over my chest, I said, I didn't. Charlene began to cry, her shoulders shaking. Between sobs, the words tumbled out, scarcely audible.
I knew when I heard that you were here in Amarillo that you would keep digging. I've heard about you and your work for the Dallas Morning News. I've read some of your stories. I knew you wouldn't let well enough alone. Yes, I did go to Levi, and yes, I did see Andrea.
Sophie's afghan slid to the floor as she sprang to her feet. She grabbed her niece's arm as taut as a bowstring.
Charlene, do you know what happened to my daughter?
Charlene stared at the floor. She covered her face with her hands and tried to control her tears.
I swear to you, Aunt Sophie, I do not know what happened to Andrea. I went to Levi a week before she disappeared. I went to try to talk some sense into her head. I wanted her to sign over half of the Inglenook to me. Tom was so unhappy, and I just wanted to make him happy, make him love me like I love him. But Andrea wouldn't listen. She said that I would probably turn that wonderful ranch into a housing development, but I would never have done that. When I left her, Aunt Sophie, I swear to you, she was as alive as you or I.
The only sound on the porch was the wind sighing around the corner and Charlene's labored breathing. Then, slowly, Sophie spoke.
I see. Yes, I understand. I believe you.
Charlene wiped her eyes with the back of her hand. Her voice was a whisper.
Thank you, Aunt Sophie. Andrea and I were not friends, but I never would have hurt her. All my life I wanted to be like her. She was Granny's favorite, and she took Tom away from me. If only Granny had been fair and left half the ranch to me.
The three of us sat silently as we watched Charlene stumble down the sidewalk, her shoulders sagging. The little car backed out of the driveway and its taillights disappeared into the darkness.
Yes, Sophie said. Only Mom Williams had treated the girls equally.
But she hadn't. The short-sightedness and selfishness of adults sometimes cost children dearly. It had done so with Charlene. Like Sophie said, Eudora Williams was a mean old gal. Envy, greed, revenge, all of these were ingredients that could never have a happy outcome. Something clicked in place for me. If Andrea were dead, and if Charlene had the Inglenook and Tom married Charlene, that beautiful ranch would at last be in the hands of Andrea's first husband.